It's a story we've all heard before. And interestingly, it's told in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not all stories are, but this one is. And I think that's unique and interesting to know that it's in all of the gospels. And the difference with Matthew's gospel is it mentions the donkey and it also mentions its mother. Yeah. So, I just wondered what your expectations are this Easter. Is it to eat lots of chocolate Easter eggs? For some it is. Usually if you're under that height, or even some of us above that height. So, we all have different expectations. We have different expectations in life. Christine was telling me the other day of someone who, she was brought up in a fairly rich family, and her expectation was to be waited on all the time, wasn't it? Not to do anything. That was her expectation. Unfortunately, her boyfriend, his expectation was to work. And so there's a bit of a clash going on there sooner or later. So, but what are our expectations of Easter? Or as some people call it, Pascha, because it talks about the Paschal Lamb. And the word Easter itself comes from an old Babylonian word. Nothing to do with Jesus' crucifixion. So that's why some prefer it to be called Pascha, just by way of explanation. At this time in Jesus' life is when they celebrated the Passover. So many people were in Jerusalem for this feast. And this was a few days before, so things would be gathering apace. They'd be booking their hotels. Not that they had hotels, but they'd be booking their stays. They'd be arranging, making all kinds of arrangements. And it's said that Jerusalem, the city, had swollen from 20,000, some people write to 150,000, and some say even more. So it's interesting that all of a sudden, you'd note that Jesus seems to be in control of everything because he'd already planned this. Already he mentioned to the man who owned the donkey, can I borrow it? I'll send you a couple of disciples and please loan it them. So that's what happened. Bethphage itself is about a mile from Jerusalem, but the terrain around there, the ground around there is rocky and hard, and likely to take a little while to get that mile. It takes me long enough to walk half a mile, so but then I'm knocking on a bit, and so Jesus is sat on his donkey, but there's prophecy here, and from Zechariah chapter 9, and it says, and it's quoted, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Normally, if you get kings coming going anywhere, they turn up on horseback. At least ours do. Our royalty, They celebrate things by having riding on horseback, don't they, in St. James's Square and in Buckingham Palace and so on. But Jesus chose a donkey. And it's interesting as well, we were talking earlier, and how Jesus came in through the east gate of Jerusalem. But at the same time, just a few days before, so not quite at the same time, but the Roman army came in through the west gate of Jerusalem. And they had all the pomp, the ceremony, the horses, the chariots, all of that. What a contrast to how Jesus came into Jerusalem. And that's what we should note. Yes, he is the King of Kings, yet he chose to be so humble. And his life was one of humility. And he asks us to follow him in humility. And that's what we must do. I just think, want to read a small passage from 1 Kings, chapter 1. Said to them, take with you the servants of your Lord and have Solomon, my son, ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. And this is, and it talks a couple of times, it makes reference to this in Kings to Solomon riding on a donkey. And sometimes you get that in scripture, how things are preceded and kind of point to Jesus, really. And then it's a reminder to them, to the Jewish people, that this has happened before. Who is Jesus? Well, you should know who he is. He is the Messiah. And just going to read to you from Hebrews, actually. John will be very happy, but won't you, John? Hebrews chapter 1. And he says to them, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So who is he? First of all, he is the heir of all things. And because of that, we are joint heirs with him. And that's something we can also rejoice about today, that we have some part in this King Jesus. He has given us that relationship to him. And he mentions he also created the world. And That's a shock to some people because they think the world was created by a big bang, and how it happened, we don't know, but we know that Jesus created the world and the universe. He used the Greek word is eons, and that means ages, and that means the universe, basically, and the history, so from the beginning. And then he describes him as the radiance of the glory of God. It's like the sun, which is brilliant, and the radiance of the glory of God is referring to him like being like a beam reflected. Used to sing a song when I was in Sunday school, and some of you might have sung it. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. And he still does, but sometimes I don't shine as brightly as I should. But there we go. But he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. What does that tell us? It tells us that he is the same. It tells us that, if you like, the imprint of our thumbs, we all have our unique imprint in that way. And I found out the other week, and I might have said it before, that that a dog has a nose, and that nose print on the dog's nose is unique to that dog. So that's amazing. But Jesus has the same nature of as God. So that's who Jesus is. So no wonder they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he tells the story of how they lay their cloaks in front of him on the ground, and that's what they do for royalty, isn't it? But he was on a donkey, he wasn't on a great big horse. And they wanted to know who he is. And they said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth. And we know he's more than a prophet. So we have a lot to be joyful about. And we are going to sing again, Rejoice.